Thank you. Thank you, Sam. I am.
Good evening, Cincinnati. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we love green eggs and ham.
The phone number is 749-1444. And you know why I'm telling you our phone number?
Because green eggs and ham are some of our favorite things.
This is a call-in talk show, in case it's the first time you ever tuned in. We take calls from people like you about a plethora of topics. And with tonight's topic, here is my co-host, Rob.
Well, I tell you what, there's this guy...
Wait, before we get to that, let me... Let me tell you why we played some Dr. Seuss tonight. They got a new book by him.
You know, I heard he was a Nazi in World War II.
He's dead.
Well, I mean, I heard he was like him and Kurt Waldheim were hanging out in Vienna, sipping cappuccino during World War II. And he was doing like, and he was using his skill as a cartoonist to make Nazi propaganda. That's just what I heard. If anybody has any information on that, one way or the other, go ahead and ring us up. But
well, I never heard that.
Well, then I'm probably full of crap.
Anyway, he's got a new book called Daisy Head Maisie that he wrote about 20 years ago. And he,
you know, so this is like, hold on. So, you know, this is kind of like how, you know, John Lennon's been dead for 14 years, but he's going to have a new record coming out. And Jimi Hendrix has been dead for 25 years, and he has a new record out every other week.
There's
now,
that Watergate guy.
Nixon died. He had a book come out after he was dead.
That Watergate guy with the diary that says...
H.R. Bob Haldeman.
Okay. Well, so anyways, Dr. Seuss dies in 1981, 2 years later.
81, 91. Out. 91, didn't he?
And here's how Daisy Head Maisie starts. It's hard to believe such a thing could be true, and I hope such a thing never happens to you. But it happened, they say, to poor Maisie McGrew. And the whole story is about this chick who gets a flower grown out of her head.
I bet Maisie McGrew, who was only two.
Well, anyway, our topic tonight is fat people. Here, Rob, you fill us in on the topic.
All right, there's this death row inmate out in Seattle. That's in Washington.
What did he do to get on death row?
He probably was hogging all the flannel. Because he was so big and fat, he was wearing all the flannel. None of the other skinny grunge rockers had any flannel
to
wear.
How fat was he, Rob?
Damn near over 400 pounds. Over 400. We're talking, you know who we're talking Haystacks Calhoun. We're talking Junior Samples. We're talking Kenny Price. We're talking Andre the Giant. I don't know how tall this guy is, but back in 81, he killed two bank tellers during a robbery.
Wow.
His name is Mitchell Roop. And he's sentenced to die. And now in Washington, you get the choice of how you want to die. You can either you get two things. You lethal injection or
you know how
hanging.
I would choose to die?
You'd say, dang me, dang me.
Tie me from a rope and hang me. No, I would choose to die by suffocation by the Swedish bikini team.
The Swedish bikini team?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of that in a long time.
Yeah, suffocation.
I haven't thought of them since like they were in Playboy.
Right.
Sweetie. But anyway, this guy, he says that lethal injection is morally repugnant. But, you know, killing two bank tellers while you're robbing a bank
that's
isn't.
That's not morally repugnant.
So this big lard ass out in Washington has picked to die by hanging. And then his lawyer, one Todd Maybrown, and I believe Maybrown is Latin for shyster.
What? Name me a lawyer that ain't.
So Todd Maybrown said hanging would likely decapitate this 400-pound tub of lard.
Bummer.
That'd be cool, man.
And, no, well, see, it would be cool because, you know, we've decided that decapitation is cruel and unusual. This is what Maybrown said. Beheading was a punishment used in barbaric times. We don't accept bodily mutilation as a form of punishment now because, as you well know, Jim, once the head's cut off, the body remains alive.
Oh, and it squirms around like a frog?
Yeah, flops around, you know, and he starts feeling for his head, and his head's down there on the floor. Hey, over here! You know, screaming at him, although he doesn't have any lungs, so he's really not, you know, screaming too loud or anything. So they want to kill this big fat guy out in Seattle. They don't know how to do it. Only four states... Washington, Montana, Delaware, and New Hampshire allow death row inmates to be hanged. I guess the rest of them do the gas chamber, do the electric chair, or the lethal injection thing. But could you, if they try to fry this big lard ass? Utah had the firing squad for Gary Gilmore. That was about, what, in 78 or so.
So how do they suggest that we terminate
this? You got this guy, he's 400 pounds. If you shot him, you'd probably miss his heart. You'd have to shoot him, you know, quite a few times. If you put him in an electric chair, he's probably, you know, too fat. He couldn't fit in it. Because it's like the movie, you know, the movie theater seats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're too skinny for fat people now, so the fat people are suing the movie theater owners and the airlines and places. So you'd have to get like some specially built shop class. I don't know, that's what you do, is you get like the 11th grade class of Seattle High, and for a project that year, you have them build a really big electric chair for big fat people. So the electric chair wouldn't work, and you can't hang him because you'll cut his head off. And then gas, who knows? I mean, he'll probably just combat it. Because all the fat people I know...
Combat it?
Because all the fat people I know produce enough gas and that they're used to living with it that it wouldn't even bug them.
That was a funny joke.
It would be just like...
That was good, Rob. I can't believe you came up with that.
Okay.
Yeah, Eddie Fingers wouldn't even come up with that. 749-1444. That phone number is 749-1444. We're taking your call.
Then they tried to lethal inject that lard ass up in Chicago, and they couldn't do it.
What lard ass was
Gacy? That? It screwed up. They practiced 15 times killing Gacy. They practiced on other fat asses, other Illinois fat boys.
I'm sure you heard about his paintings getting burned, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, they practiced like 15 times, and they never got it right. And then when push came to shove, and it was time to put Pogo to sleep, it like clogged up. The tubes clogged up, and he had to like sit there for 8 minutes while he unclogged the tubes, and then, although he was, you know, asleep and stuff, so he really didn't mind, I don't guess, since he was slumbering. Hey, Brian, you're on with Chris and Rob and Jim. Brian, what up, bro? Brian, hello. The phone thing's not on.
There we go. Try it now.
There we go.
All right, go ahead, Brian. Sorry, our fault.
All right, I think they should give him Twinkies laced with cyanide.
Wow.
They gave him his choice, and he doesn't like his choice. So they should give him a final meal.
Twinkies laced with cyanide. But maybe not tell him. Like, say, listen, here's the deal. Sometime in the future, you're going to die. You're going to die of poison. We're not going to tell you who, what, where, when, but sometime you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we could like strap a box to his head with a rat in it.
Like in 1984?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Speaking of lard asses, what'd you think of Kevin Mitchell scoring the winning run in the bottom of the 10th?
Missed it.
You missed it. It was a good game. Where are you calling from tonight, Brian?
Clifton.
How are things in lovely romantic Clifton?
The sky is clear. It's not orange.
It's not?
Well, no.
3 o'clock in the morning.
It's nice and quiet.
Okay, I'm going to make a little rule here because I did it way too much the first 15 minutes.
What's that?
Use the word ass. I said fat ass, lard ass, bucket of lard ass, whatever. No more, just ass. No more.
What other word should we use instead of ass? You mean like butt?
Well, I tell you what.
No. We've done this before. We're not compiling a list tonight.
But if we're so unoriginal that the only term we can come up with for fat people is lard ass. We deserve to be on way from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Dimple butt.
There you go. See? All you need is a little initiative to get the creative juices flowing.
Brian?
Yeah.
Flagblazer.
What's a good name for a fat guy?
For a dimple butt.
What is it?
Lump rump.
Lump rump.
Lump rump. Write that down.
Lump
okay,
rump.
Thanks for your call, Brian.
All right.
All right.
Whatever Brian's doing tonight, I hope he does more of it.
749-1444 is the phone number here, Chris and Rob. We've got a big giant show. We're going to have real live rock stars on, possibly.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
And who knows? Who knows what else?
A little later, we're going to have Hamburger Facts of the Month because, as you know,
May
is National Hamburger Month.
Hamburger. You just call somebody a hamburger and you think they're a big fat guy.
Yeah.
You hamburger.
You big old cheeseburger.
No, big old meatloaf.
What else are we going to get to tonight? We got a few surprises we won't get into just yet.
Oh.
And as always, tonight's program is brought to you in part by the fine folks at
No Anchovies.
The finest pie in the Queen City.
Yeah, great pie up there next to the Dirty Movie Theater.
So check it out, No Anchovies. Hello, April, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I think somebody should like put him through some killer bondage.
Killer bondage? What do you mean?
Just like strap him up or something and like make him lick your boots.
Tolchuk into this.
So you're thinking maybe get him excited. You're thinking this guy's been in jail since 81. If probably if he even caught a whiff of ye, he would just clutch and die.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about that?
You know, that's how Attila the Hun died, sort of.
What? How was that?
Well, he was an older fella. He was still king of the tribe. And
You're thinking of Nelson Rockefeller, aren't you?
No, I'm thinking of Attila the Hun.
Attila Hun.
Yeah, he married this younger babe because, you know, the elder of the tribe thought that would make Attila bring back some of his vim and vigor, you know, from the old days.
The head Hun.
The
Hun witch doctor.
Well, the next morning after his wedding night, his sons had found him lying dead in a pool of his own blood.
With a big smile on his face.
That'd
be good.
So all we could do is we could get Chesty Love, that stripper from Indiana, who had her tits inflated to like 132 inches, and then had the operations taken off her taxes. Fly her out there, have her do her act.
Are we allowed to say tits?
And that guy would be, I mean, he's been, what, you know, if he's 400 pounds, he probably wasn't getting a lot before he went in.
Nope.
Because April. I don't think too many guys pick up that much weight on prison food, do they?
April, where are you calling from tonight?
Milford.
And April, are you volunteering your services to fly out to Seattle and see if you can't bondage this guy to death?
I don't know.
Is this the first time you've ever called us, April?
Yeah, I just started to listen to you guys this week.
Well, that's good. Let me ask you a question.
What's that?
This is something we always ask
you. You made a darn good choice here, April.
Call for the first
time. You made a good life decision choosing to listen to us.
With virgin callers, I like to get this out of the way right away. If you could be any kind of an alcoholic beverage in the whole world, what drink would you be?
Slippery Nipple.
There you go. Oh, that's exactly what I thought. Well, thanks for calling, April.
Okay,
thanks. Keep tuned in. Tell all your friends.
All right.
Okay, bye.
When's someone going to call up and say the state should not be killing people?
That'll happen.
That'll happen pretty soon. And you guys are talking like it's just taken for granted. Oh, whatever. It's a whole different topic. 749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris Rambl Late Night Talk Show.
We know that guy. All right. Bambo Marble Eye. This is the band Bambo Marble Eye. We'll be right back. That band is called Bambo Marble Eye. The song is called Warehouse. It's from the CD called Two Trick Pony. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. That was very weak, Rob. We can do better.
I thought we were going to do something cute. We used to set stuff up so we'd be fresh and original.
Anyhow.
Now we're in a what?
From the band Bambo Marble Eye, we have on the line one here, Perry Finch, lead bass player. Hello, Perry.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic, how are you?
I hear they sound funny.
What sounds funny?
You sound like a million miles away.
Well, we're in Cincinnati, you're in Chicago. What'd you expect? That's more like about 500 miles. Anyhow, how are things in that toddling town?
It's cold.
Is he going to make me hold the phone, or is he going to take it
right here? Got it. There you go. You happy now?
Yes, I'm happy. My arm is getting tired. I had a chip waiting.
Kiss my dimply butt, all right?
Chris wouldn't take the phone from me to talk to Perry. He was making me hold it, like I'm his personal mic stand or something.
So, Perry, this band, Bambo Marble Eye, you're in it. Fill me in.
Hey, I'm in it. And we play and stuff, and we put out records.
Cool. Where
can you play them sometimes?
Yeah, where can you get these records at? You got any distributors?
You can get them in Europe, but that's it.
Okay, what about Wizards in Cincinnati? Are they carrying it?
No, not yet.
Camelot?
No.
When are you going to be playing around here again?
We have a tentative in June.
There you go. Where at?
Top Cats.
Watch for it. Top Cats. June.
But it's a tentative.
Bambo Marble. Well, let's see if you know, Joe Radio sees a flyer, he'll go to your show.
Yeah,
anyhow, cool. Tell me where the band Bambo Marble is from, how you got started, and what's that all about?
Well, yeah, I thought we were going to talk about fat people.
We're getting to that.
Okay, well... Let's talk about fat people.
Okay. What should we do with all the fat people?
What should you do with them?
Yeah, there's that one fella that what's his name again, Rob? Out in Seattle, he's on
Mitchell
death row. Mitchell Rube, he's on death row. He's too fat to be shot, lethally injected, gassed, or hung. Hanged. Or hung. It's not hanged, it's hung.
I'm a fat guy and I'm hung.
So what should we do about it?
Give him a recording contract. There you go, is it killing you? Let the man sing. Kill him, I don't know. He's a fat guy.
What do you do for fun in Chicago?
Oh, God, we don't have a lot of fun at all. It's freezing here.
How can it be freezing? It's May.
It's freezing. I tell you, they've turned the heat off in this place, and it's freezing. It's like 60 degrees.
What is the
degrees.
What's the life of a rock star like in the 90s when you're a member of Generation X and Kurt Cobain's dead? Well, you know, has the Kurt Cobain suicide affected the rock and roll community in the Chicagoland area?
I don't know. I mean, I thought about it for a little while, and then I went on. I mean,
what'd you think?
I thought, boy, I wish it could have been some other people.
Like Pearl Jam?
Yeah. And, the Smashing Pumpkins thing, wouldn't it? You know, if one of them would have tried that, that would have been...
Wouldn't you like to see them go down? I hear they're going to be on Lollapalooza.
It wouldn't have shook me at all.
Right, me neither. They blow.
But, yeah, I thought about it for a little while. I heard it over NPR. It was the coldest damn broadcast in the world. And it just was a brutal thing.
You mean you didn't think they put the emotion that Walter Cronkite would have put into it?
They gave him credits and for being the one of the founding fathers of the what is called grunge, and it was just terrible. Terrible way to be remembered. By somebody's grandfather or something like that.
So have you met any big time celebrities out there in Chicago like Bill Murray or Jim Belushi?
You might find it hard to believe, but we don't hang out in the same places.
Really? What about like Jesus Lizard?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Urge Overkill.
Cheap Trick? No, I haven't seen any of those.
Robin or Rick from Cheap Trick?
No, I didn't know they were around.
What about 11th Dream Day?
We played with them at Frankie's.
So you met them?
Well, yeah. It was...
Wow, were they cool?
Yeah, they were alright.
What about Jell-O? Who's Jell-O? Jell-O Biafra or the band Jell-O?
Jell-O Biafra.
He's from San Francisco.
I got a letter from Jell-O Biafra the other day.
He got a letter from Jell-O.
What did Jell-O have to say?
Jell-O said, we can't give you any money, but just keep right on rocking. You're onto something there.
Well, I could have sent you a letter like that.
Yeah, but you're not Jell-O Biafra.
Still can.
Who else is from Chicago?
You ever met any big-time celebrities out there?
Not really, no.
You know what you might want to do?
What?
You might want to hook up with, like Columbia or Geffen, and like maybe they can put your records in stores, and then you can start meeting celebrities.
Oh my gosh, the backwards approach.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Perry, if you could meet any celebrity, who would it be?
I don't know. I'm not really into celebrities and stuff.
Yeah, the Cubs or White Sox.
I like the Tigers.
Really? What about the Bulls? Is the whole city going nuts about the Bulls?
I try to avoid all the sports and stuff.
Why? You communist? You fat?
Do you like the people find out that you like the Pistons and the Tigers and then they want to kick your ass?
No. I just tell them that I like Detroit teams and that usually is the end of the conversation.
Are you like a pariah there in Chicago?
I wouldn't say that.
Is the music scene hopping there? Is there a lot of place for original music?
Yeah, there's a couple of cool places, but, sometimes they book bad bands, and they're not consistent. So you can't just go to a bar and know they're going to book something cool all the time.
Well, where can you?
Well, I've been to places where you can. Or every time you go in there, it's a really good musical thing. It might not be the same flow the whole time, but, I mean, it's still always cool. Here, sometimes you get a bad band.
Perry, you've been in the rock and roll business for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah.
If you could give some advice to some young, up-and-coming, wannabe rock star in the Queen City area, what advice would you give them?
Boy.
Well, you know, Clifton, Cincinnati...
Make a lot of money.
Yeah, the Cincinnati area is full of a lot of people who are trying to be rock stars, and I just wonder what you could tell them. What have you learned over the years that you'd like to pass on to them?
I don't really concern myself with rock stars and people. I don't judge those on being rock stars.
Have you visited the Chess Studios yet? I understand they're open and you can take a tour through there.
The what?
The Chess Studios.
What are they?
Chess Records. It was like this record label in the 50s that had all these blues guys on it.
No, I don't know what that is.
Chuck Berry. Like Chuck Berry, Muddy Waters.
I know who they are, but I don't
Yeah, they were on a record label called Chess, and it's from Chicago.
And you can walk through there now.
Yeah, now you can go through there.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah, and the Stones recorded one of their early albums there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, go check it out.
Perry, let me rephrase my last question.
Okay.
Sheldon the Awesome Metalhead plays guitar for an up-and-coming band in the Clifton area. Sheldon has been, playing all the club scenes, and he plans to dedicate his life to music and the bohemian lifestyle. What advice could you pass along to Sheldon so that he might have a more fulfilling career in the music business?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, Sheldon. You should try to draw your energy from the band and not the audience. Because if you pursue an original rock and roll career, there won't always be an audience, Sheldon. And the band will always be there. So, get your energy from the band. Don't worry about the audience. And just rock on.
He thinks you're Sheldon.
How's that?
That was perfect. That was beautiful and lovely. And I hope all them young, up-and-coming wannabes out there got some inspiration from your words of wisdom.
Well, good.
So thanks, Perry.
I'm glad I could just help just one person. That'd be really cool.
Okay, we're going to move on and take another call, Perry. Future plans for Bambo Marble Eye?
I think we're going to release a single.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you going to play a Mama Cass song in my honor?
Yeah, we'll play a Mama Cass song for you. How's that sound? Mm-hmm.
In Lincoln Park, there's a statue of Alexander Hamilton. If it's not too much trouble, go lay a wreath there for me.
Lay a what?
A wreath, a wreath. A small token of,
in
commemoration of me, because he's like my all-time hero.
I thought you said something.
Why does Chicago have a statue?
Okay, here's your Mama Cass song, Perry.
Here's your Mama Cass song, Perry.
You ready?
Cool.
Okay, this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. We're taking your calls. The topic is fat people. This is Mama Cass. Good morning, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're wearing big smiles.
749-1444. It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
It's time for some facts.
Facts?
We've had a lot of opinion bandied around about so far today. We've had a lot of conjecture. Just opinions and conjecture. And conjecture and opinions and things that were not facts.
So I pull all this stuff out, and all you want are cold, hard facts.
All right, well, I want some cold, hard facts concerning this month.
Concerning this month?
This month of May. I want some cold, hard facts concerning this month of May.
Are you talking about hamburger facts?
Exactly. This is National Hamburger Month, and I want some cold, hard, crystal clear facts. Not innuendo, not rumor, not gossip. I want some facts. And the man I turn to for facts
is the Chris and Rob science editor himself, the lovely and talented Jim.
In 1992, White Castle sponsored a contest to find the birthplace of the hamburger. The contest was held between Athens, Texas, Seymour, Wisconsin, and Hamburg, New York. An overwhelming majority of Americans called in their vote for Seymour, Wisconsin, naming Seymour the, quote, original, unquote, home of the hamburger.
That it? Just one fact?
Yeah, we need more?
We need one more hamburger fact to fill out Hamburger Month.
If I read one more, we're not going to have any more original ones to read.
That's fine.
Do we have any more Tuesdays left in this month?
Yeah, but that don't matter. We want one more hamburger fact. Get it over with.
Americans have grown to love the hamburger so much.
Damn straight.
A museum of hamburger history has been built to honor the all-American sandwich. The museum opened in the spring of 1993 in the aforementioned Seymour, Wisconsin, officially known as the Hamburger Hall of Fame.
Closed in fall of 93.
Well, thank you for
closed
that,
down
Jim.
For,
without you,
health
I don't
violations.
Know where we'd be. We definitely wouldn't be that smart about hamburgers. Okay, well, since this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, you're welcome to call in.
1844. Right now it's 23 minutes until 3 o'clock.
The thing about that is, though,
if you got to be somewhere at 3, you got 23 minutes to get there.
Thing about that is, though, you know how like WMMS would always win that Rolling Stone Reader's Poll for best radio station?
Why? That suck.
Yeah, well, they found out that they were stuffing the ballot box. You know the Seymour Chamber of Commerce did the same thing with this contest. Mm-hmm. Seymour, Wisconsin. You can't trust that city as far as you can throw it.
Not at all.
Well,
hey, you want to talk about bones?
I'm always ready to talk about bones.
That's what I thought. Down in Kentucky, have you ever heard of Big Bone Lick State Park?
What?
They have a Big Bone Lick State Park down
yeah,
in Kentucky.
It's yeah.
Near Frankfort, Kentucky. And the University of Nebraska paleontologists in the 1960s did an excavation, and they have some prehistoric animal bones.
Okay, great. That's mostly what paleontologists deal with.
It's supposed to be one of the most important archaeological sites in the whole world.
Okay, good about it. What about it? What
big,
about it?
Big Bone Lick State Park.
What
well,
about it?
Kentucky and Nebraska are fighting over who's going to get all these bones. The University of Nebraska paleontologists collected them, but the state of Kentucky thinks they own them because they're from Kentucky bones. So they're having a big fight about that. What do you think? Who should get them? The university for digging them up or Kentucky for having the animals die there in the first place?
I'll tell you what.
Why did they name the park Big Bone Lick?
Because, well, that's a different story. But I remember once when I was on a tour of the Far East, I traveled to see a holy man. And I made it up to see this guy. Had to get an appointment 3 weeks in advance. I finally was granted an audience with this person and this ancient, inscrutable, wise, holy man said to me, you know what he said to me, Chris?
He said, go on a diet.
Well, after that, he said, finders keepers.
Nice.
So, therefore, I grant possession of the bones to Nebraska.
Yeah, but they're Kentucky.
They found them. They found them. What are you supposed to do? Like, if you come in and cut down a tree, you got to take the tree, you got to haul it away, right?
They're still Kentucky.
You know, it doesn't matter. As long as they're going to be displayed properly in a place that charges really cheap admission or is free and is educational, a lot of people can go there. I mean, if Kentucky's planning on putting in some kind of private collection, let Nebraska have them. But if Nebraska's planning on putting them in a private collection, let's keep them in the bluegrass state.
Okay, Bones, brought to you by Chris and Rob.
But I say finders keepers, losers weepers.
Next up, Lollapalooza. Let's talk about Lollapalooza for a minute and what a joke it is.
Hey.
Let's get some corny
dude,
music.
Dude, it's like the Woodstock for your generation.
Isn't that what
you're Don't
crap?
You believe the media? You're supposed to love this.
I'm looking at the list here. There's only like a couple of good bands.
Guided by Voices.
Oh, yeah.
They're really good.
It looks like A Tribe Called Quest is going to play. They're okay, and George Clinton will be there, and he's always a trip. But the rest of the stuff is just weak. Smashing Pumpkins are the headliner. I mean, give me a break already. It's going to be at Riverbend on July 20th. It's going to be all day long. You have lots of smart drinks. So check it out. Looks like the other stage is going to have the little stage.
Yeah, the little stage is going to rock.
They're going to have the Flaming Lips and Verve and Luscious Jackson and Palace Songs. Who are they? Never heard of that.
I don't know. What happened to having local bands on that other stage?
Oh, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
What a
yeah.
bad idea.
Oh, you don't think that maybe the record label said, no, don't put local bands on there. Let's, here, you don't think Warner Brothers foisted the Flaming Lips on those guys?
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to shelve this for a minute, because in a little while, Rob and I are going to compile our list of who the Chris and Rob Palooza would have on their stage.
Are they people that are still alive, or can we dig somebody up?
Oh, they
up?
Have to be alive. I mean, you can't have dead people play.
Oh, okay. That's
kind
no
of
fun.
Weird. Well,
you just display their bones.
Yeah, Pink Floyd don't count either.
You know, kids can't get enough Pink Floyd. I read that in a Radio Trade magazine the other day. Consumers can't get enough Pink Floyd. It's their best album since The Wall.
Give me a break. They haven't done any records since The Wall, have they?
They did The Final Cut.
Okay.
They did I'm Learning to Fly.
Oh, that doesn't count.
And they did, I don't know. They did something else. I don't know. I'm sure some brain-dead Floyd head will call up and say, you're forgetting about their classic 1986 record. My head's a balloon. Is this Kevin?
Yeah, it sure is.
Hi, Kevin. What can we do for you today?
You're obviously down at a bus station, right?
No.
Where are you calling from?
Bed.
Where are you
I
at?
I got work in the morning.
Where are you calling from?
My apartment.
How are things in your apartment?
Kind of messy.
So what's going on?
Well, I heard you talk about the Chris and Rob Palooza.
Yeah,
You'd have to have Gear Daddy Finch and Dr. Zombie on there.
You mean Gone Daddy Finch?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Dr. Zombie would be there for sure.
Sure, like Gear Daddy. I always remember it being Gear Daddy.
It's Gone Daddy. The band from Bowling Green or Toledo or wherever.
And the headliner would be Prince.
Prince?
Mm-hmm.
Prince kicks.
Right on.
And you know what?
What?
The X would be flowing free and easy that day.
What would be?
The X.
Oh, yeah.
Man, all the smart drinks would be spiked.
See, the thing is, hey, Kevin, can I tell you a little secret I've learned to life?
Hit me.
When you learn a new word, it's best to try to use it in your everyday conversation quickly.
Indubitably.
So, you know, I just learned X, and so I thought I'd use it to solidify it as part of my vocabulary.
Cool.
You know, that's funny, because with some of us radio guys,
uh-huh.
My motto is as soon as you get a new sound effect, use it as much as you possibly can.
Too bad you haven't got any new ones in like 30 months.
Oh, I got a bunch of new ones. I'm queuing one
up. Right, he's queuing one up right now, and you can cut the anticipation with a knife.
Ooh, ooh. We were at a bachelor party this weekend.
Oh, yeah, who got married?
A friend of ours, Pat's getting married Saturday.
My condolences to Pat.
Hey, tell
he's
Pat
the guy
I said.
That ran into you on the street, and you, like, he said you acted like a jerk.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I didn't know who he was. Dude, I'm scared. I tell you the truth. People call me up here and at my other job, and it scares the hell out of me that some people know who I am.
No, he had met you before.
Well, see, after I walked away from him, I figured out who he was. I thought you were supposed to go to him and say, Pat, Rob didn't mean to be a jerk. He just forgot who you are, and he's scared of
him. We already told him.
And he still thinks I hate him or still thinks I'm a jerk?
No, we told him that you were just scared.
I'm scared of everybody I meet that I don't know because, you know,
Rob, living in the shadow of terror for the rest of your life is not a solution to your problems.
Hey, you know, like when David Crosby got pulled over for having a gun, you know what he said? John Lennon. And that's what I live by.
Hey, Rob.
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Hold on, there's a big siren going by my house.
Go follow it and then call us wherever they're at. Will you do that, Kevin? There's nothing else to do in the middle of the night. Come on.
What did you say? I can't hear you.
This is what I said.
Hey, we got a big fire truck coming up our street.
All right.
Cool. You want to talk to a fireman?
You got a mobile phone?
Yeah,
they're right outside Shirley's Tight End.
Well, take the phone over there real quick and give us a call.
Dude, there's two of them.
Cool.
Go get them.
You want to talk to one?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Well, we can talk to a fireman or a dyke.
I'm going to go outside. I got one of those mobile phones.
Oh, okay. Great. We're not even going to have to be on hold then.
Hey, put me on. Pick up the phone.
The phone's picked up.
All right, cool. I'm outside now.
Cool. Oh, okay. Hey, are we going to get a fireman or a lesbian?
I don't know. Which one would you like to talk to?
Both.
A lesbian fireman.
Yeah, is there a lesbian fire person around? Be a fire person.
Do you really want to talk to a fireman?
Yeah,
they look pissed.
Another false alarm. The damn I team's following us around. I team says we're spending too much time in lesbo bars.
Hold on. Come here. They're running away from me.
Well, you're probably out there and you're like,
you want to talk to a late night talk show?
Your footy pajamas.
You want to talk to a talk show? They're running away from me.
You're out there in your pajamas, aren't you?
I'm just walking out with any shoes on. There they go. They're giving me dirty looks.
Yeah, there's probably a fire raging.
I asked one of the lesbians to talk to you, and she looked at me and went, no.
Yeah, we heard her.
What?
We heard her, so she
did
talk to us, yeah.
She was pissed.
Man, it always stinks when your favorite bar gets burnt down.
Hell yeah.
So do you think did it? Was it a fire over there, or what was it?
False alarm.
Well, they showed up, spend 12 seconds, and leave?
Well, I don't know. Hey, Rob, you know we're real pissed that you didn't show up to the party.
I didn't have any wheels, dude.
You could have called one of us, dude.
You're going to come up. You're going to drive to Hamilton.
There's always the fire at Shirley's.
You're going to drive to Hamilton to pick me up to be at your bash.
Well, why don't you call? I forgot Chris doesn't do rides.
No, Chris doesn't do rides because his car's a piece of crap.
Is that it?
Basically. Well, obviously so is mine, or else I would have had a way down there.
Well, it was a hell of a bash.
Yeah, I heard it was. I heard I really missed out.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
all right,
hey, play trombone for him.
Lay a little bone on us, and then you can get out of here.
Lay a little bone?
Lay a little bone on us.
What does that mean? Hold on, let me do a handle. Let me shut the... Here, listen.
All right. Well, he's got a handy, like in his pocket. A Rambo.
How's that?
That's a pretty good hand bone, but your trombone... Let's go get your trombone out. Wake your neighbors.
I'm not going to rape my neighbors.
Just do it with your mouth then.
All right, hold on.
Like
I'm
the Mills Brothers.
Get in the trombone. Scott's got a trumpet now.
What are you doing, man? Get my trombone.
All right, you guys play like a duet.
Yeah, we got a little horn section going.
All right.
All right, hold on for a second.
Do Brick House. Just go, house.
Here, boy, hold on.
All right.
Here we go.
When I play the beat, yell house. Don't play this now.
Just real quietly.
Just real quietly. Put the muffler on it.
Good. There, that's good. That's good. Stop it, Jesus.
Our roommate's sleeping.
Let me tell you something. I didn't hear house. I heard that's good. Stop it, Jesus. He must think a lot of your trombone skills. Like how they called clapping God. They call you Jesus, huh?
You can believe it.
All right, man. You guys go to sleep.
All right. Sorry, we couldn't get a fireman for you.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Later.
Scott and Kevin.
It's a right a minute here on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I bet you thought you'd never hear that on the radio, and you just did. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
The phone number is 749. A nice cough. Wait,
I turned my head.
Microphone.
I turned my head.
749-1444.
I thought I was getting physical. Hey, listen, you know you hear so much negative stuff about the youth of America. You hear how this country's going to hell in a KFC bucket.
I've heard that.
You have heard. You've said that even. I believe you've said that on a number of occasions. Back when we were having our heyday, our glory days, back when we were getting paid the big dolos, back when we were getting neck massages during our broadcasts,
yeah,
you were fond of saying the country's going to Hades in a KFC bucket.
It is, though.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
But anyway, the country's not going to Hades in a KFC or a Lee's bucket. The youth of America is strong, standing loud, talking proud, saying nothing. Something like that. Down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Paul Prudhomme country.
Right.
An 11-year-old boy ran into a burning apartment, saved a 2-year-old boy, whose mammy, that's what they call their parents down there in Louisiana, mammy, whose mammy had left him unsupervised so she could attend a birthday party. Jason Dent, that's the 11-year-old's name, said he ignored his Boy Scout training, which taught him to crawl through smoke. I thought it would have taken me too long if I'd crawled, so I decided to stay on top of the smoke and run through. So this guy, basically, the smoke was so thick, he ran on top of it. The child was up under the covers with part of his head sticking out. After I got him out of bed, I was able to hold my breath until I got to the front door. The pig said the toddler and 5 other kids, none more than 6 years old, were alone in the apartment Thursday night. The toddler apparently had been playing with matches and set fire to a book.
We got to do happy birthdays, Rob.
So he burned his Dr. Seuss book, and then an 11-year-old kid came running in to get him. So I think that America is in good hands. And everybody having a birthday, happy birthday.
Well, you know whose birthday it is today, don't you?
Yours?
No.
I didn't get you anything.
No, my birthday was a long time ago.
And I did get you something.
Right,
yeah,
on, baby.
All right.
I haven't forgotten.
Jim! Jim, it's Jim's birthday!
No, it's not Jim's birthday, but you're getting warmer.
My birthday!
No, it's not your birthday. Today is Naked
Handsome
Renee's
Clem's
birthday.
Oh,
don't you wish. It's Naked Renee's birthday today, so we gotta sing happy birthday to her. Are you ready?
We're doing this like in a bluesy fashion, like a jazzy fashion, a rock, a pop, a samba.
I want it more like a barbershop quartet, but
how about like a
kind of
version.
All
right, here we go.
Are you ready?
Let me make sure Jim gets in on this.
In a minor key.
Are you ready?
In a minor key.
Tune up with me, guys. Okay, this goes out to Naked Renee.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
Naked Renee.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Go, Jim.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Naked Renee.
Anyways, Renee, happy birthday.
And burn in hell.
That wasn't very nice. I hope she kicks your ass for that.
And if you're working at a pizza place, you can't be bought anymore.
Right on. What's next, Rob?
She knows I was kidding.
You heard about this three strikes and you're out deal?
No, what's that? Oh, that's baseball.
No, that's...
How about that come from behind 10th inning victory?
I tell you what, I was listening to the ball game, and they said it's the 8th inning, and Kevin Mitchell's come to the plate. The Reds are down by 2, and I thought, here it is. Big K's going to park one. But anyway, into a fielder's choice with the run scored from third. So that was pretty good. The Reds were only down by 1. I get away from the game. I watch the news at night. Lo and behold, they beat the best pitcher in the National League, Greg Maddux. Well, actually, they didn't beat him. They beat the reliever, I think. But anyway, congratulations to the Cincinnati Red Legs as they pulled it out in extra innings today. What, 4-3, right? 4-3?
Yep.
You were down there. How was your experience at the old ball yard?
It was 4-3.
How was your experience? What was the over?
I ate the peanuts whole. I didn't even crack them out of the shell. I just ate them whole.
Who does that?
There were two real fat guys sitting in front of me, like sucking down sauerkraut dogs and getting mustard all over their faces, and they spilled beer all over the seat in front of them.
You sue them?
There was beer everywhere. Anyhow, it was a wonderful game. It was one of them real tight games, too, because you didn't know until the 9th inning that it
was it good, wholesome, quality family fun?
Oh, you bet.
Would you recommend it as a good use of your entertainment dollar?
Oh, you bet.
Especially since you got in free.
Got that straight. Corporate box, man, with a corporate parking place. It's getting late.
So they were season tickets?
Uh-huh.
Can I have it?
No. They weren't mine, man.
No. I mean, did you get a ticket, right? You get a hard ticket that you have to show and it gets ripped off, or do you just, like, show it at the gate?
It's a separate ticket.
Well, can I have your stub?
No.
Why not?
Get it out, boy!
Because that's at home.
Well, I need your stub, dude.
Okay, dude.
See, the deal is, you know what you use a stub for?
What?
Okay, you buy a top six, you know, for $350 or whatever. Then you get into the ballpark, and then you just show that season ticket, no matter how old it is, and you can get down to the blue.
Oh, cool.
So, because, you know, those old 98-year-old ushers don't want to tick off the people who have season tickets, because that's the bread and butter of any, of the consumership of any entertainment industry, is the season tickets. So, they just let you go by. They don't want to say, excuse me, let me see that ticket to make sure it's the right game or anything. You just flash it, you know, as like a different shade of blue or green or yellow or red or whatever the, you know, the season ticket is for.
You're so crafty.
Then you go down and you get a standard next to Wild Man Walker, but you can't get too close. Because you won't be able to eat a hot dog if you get too close to him. You know what I'm saying?
I hope Marge is tuned in right now and knows all about this and comes after you.
Well, the only time we ever got rousted and they wanted to see our season tickets was when Marge did come walking through there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, we all had to walk, you know, through the outfield. We just took a trip around. Yep, but then we came back, and what do you know? We were right there in the front row.
It's Marge.
So, oh, boy.
Hello, Marge. You're on the air.
Hey, babes. How you doing?
Okay, babes. What's up?
Oh, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Are you going to buy the stadium or not?
I'm thinking about it. Who knows? I might go to Kentucky. Smokes are cheaper over there.
They sure are. Booze is, too.
I wouldn't know about that. I've got my own freaking distillery.
So, Marge, if you buy the stadium, are you going to rename it like Shot Stadium?
I'm going to name it Margetown, USA. It's going to be a freaking theme park.
You can put, like, the water slide out in center field.
Oh, that'd be a gas.
It'd liven up the game a little bit. You know, everybody says baseball's too dull and boring. Put a water slide, perhaps like a scrambler out in the outfield, and, you know, Reggie Sanders have to dodge them to catch the fly balls. That would brighten things up.
You're an idea man. I want you on my team, babe.
You know, I'm almost, I'm even younger than Jim Bowden, so why don't you hire me?
You know, Jim, well, I can hire you to do what Jim does for me.
Which is?
Yard work.
Out in the back cutting down the tulips,
he gets
right?
A cut with the pros.
He's the man.
I heard he's hell with mulch.
In more ways than one.
Marge, so what's it like working with the city council? Have they been cooperative? Have they been giving you a hard time?
Do they let you smoke at the city council meetings?
They don't have a choice. Sometimes I just crush up a whole pack and smoke it in a bong. There ain't nothing worse than a damn filter to ruin a good cigarette.
Tell me, has Tom Lucan made a pass at you yet?
You know, I'm thinking about letting him drive the Zamboni.
The Zamboni's been parked for quite a while, hasn't it? He can get it out of storage, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Marge.
It's great talking to you, kids.
What are you the future plans for the Reds now that you're thinking about buying the stadium?
What are the future? That's a hell of a question.
Isn't it, though?
Geez, you thought of that right off the top of your head, huh?
Uh-huh.
God love you. What was it again?
If you moved them to Northern Kentucky, would you change the name to the Northern Kentucky Toothless Hillbillies, or would you keep it Cincinnati Reds?
I'd probably keep it the same. You know, Kevin Mitchell's a big hunk of a man.
He could drive the Zamboni.
I think he could, yeah.
Long and hard.
That's why I'm keeping him around, you know.
Got him on any kind of weight loss programs?
He doesn't need to lose an ounce.
Let me tell you something, Marge. Here's your deal. You give up Tony Fernandez, one minor league pitcher, probably like Roper or something. You get Andy Benes from the Padres.
Hey, I take enough crap from those idiots at the big one with their trades and their nonsense. I don't want to hear this from you waif boys.
I was just, you know, making a small suggestion. And have San Diego throw in a carton of Camels.
Oh, man, I love Camels. You know, I'd walk a mile and knock a man out for a Camel, baby.
I bet you would. So how much are you looking to buy the stadium for? What are we talking? $60 million?
Actually,
$20 million?
I've been saving my Raleigh coupons.
In like some Camel bucks? And
big stack of those suckers.
The Camel Cash and the Marlboro Adventure bucks.
That should take care of it.
So instead of, like, giving them cash, you can just, like, give them playing cards with Joe Camel on them.
Absolutely.
And perhaps even if you save enough, get the satin jacket.
Or maybe save up enough for the iron lung. And, you know, Shotzi O2 is going to be able to run all over the field now.
He's going to have grass.
He can...
Oh, good luck in all your endeavors.
Hey, whoops and licks.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, wolves and licks. Not hugs and kisses, wolves and licks.
Whatever.
Hey, you know where I can get a Dodge minivan?
Yeah, come see my boys.
Okay.
Come see my boys up in Norwood.
Make me a good deal?
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks.
Who the hell is this?
This is,
Larry King Live.
God love you. You kids take it easy now.
You too, Marge.
Wolfs and licks.
Wolfs and licks.
Bye now.
Bye.
749-1444. That's 749-1444. I always say it both ways. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
You know, I really think it's a good thing Marge is still around. Because Lou Piniella was very... what was easily impersonated.
Uh-huh.
We got a good ball club. That's Lou. Then of course Tony. You know, anybody, you could do Tony all day long. But Davey Johnson, you can't do an impersonation of, because he's just, you know, like a piece of Wonder Bread.
Well, it's going to be a tough season, but I think we can win a few ball games.
Something like that. Nobody has
That's
any idea how he's.
Said.
Nobody.
I've heard him interviewed. He's the most general guy you've ever heard. Very broad.
Oh, I tell you who's
it's
the.
It's going to be a tough season, but I think we can win a few ball games. I heard him say that once.
Okay, here's the biggest dork in the world, Paul O'Neill, former Reds outfielder Paul O'Neill, who's now like hitting .900 for the Yankees, the hottest team in baseball. Every time he was star of the game, no matter what he did, he could hit one in the red seats. He could hit for the cycle, and he'd always say something stupid after the game. Well, Joe, you know, I was just looking to put the ball in play, and, you know, hopefully some good things will happen. He said that constantly. I used to laugh every time he said that. The other day he's on ESPN. They're like, Paul, you're hitting .489. You're leading the league in RBIs. And what's been the secret of your success? I'm just looking to put the ball in play.
I thought the secret of his success was that Lee's Famous Recipe fried chicken.
Yeah, that he used to do those lawnmower commercials,
Well,
too.
You know, the secret to Chris and Rob's success is that no anchovies pizza.
That's good.
Best in the Queen City.
Thing was, the Lee's chicken made his fingers greasy. The bat slipped out, hit somebody in the head. Hit Marge in the head. He was gone next day.
So the phone number here is 749. 749-